Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Well, we did it. We debated Reginald Finley, who's known as the InfidelGuy.com. He's appeared on ABC's reality show. Well, not real, not reality, but Wife Swap. And he's the atheist, and they switched places. They mixed up a Christian family with an atheist family. Never saw the show. But anyway, he's rather well known, and we debated. And so what we're going to do in a moment, we're going to air about the first 10 minutes of that debate so that you get a sense for it. It went on for 2 hours, really fun debate. And on Monday and Tuesday coming up, we'll take the whole shows and air the first hour or so of that debate. Okay, but before we get to that, let me read you an email we got from a listener in Indianapolis. His name is Neil Copley. Neil Copley. And he's responding to an email we received from a woman, Alexandra. You remember Alexandra? She was so upset at us. And she said, how dare Bob speak against homosexuality? He's not a homo. How dare Bob speak against abortion? He's not a woman. So Neil Copley sent us an email addressed to Alexandra. And he writes, Alexandra, you are not an anti-abortion activist. So how can you say Bob is wrong? You are not opposed to the homosexual lifestyle, so how can you say that those opposed to homosexuality are wrong? You are not a man, so how can you say those men who think abortion is wrong are wrong? Alexandra, you are not a talk show host, so how can you say Bob is wrong? And that's just an illustration of how the form of her argument is wrong. It's broken. And by the way, Neil is a music director at a megachurch in Indiana. And Alexandra, you are not a music director from a megachurch in Indiana, so you can't say that he's wrong either. And that's how silly, right? We could analyze the form of an argument and see that just because you are not a child pornographer doesn't mean you don't have the authority to condemn child pornography. The same thing with someone who would own a black man or kill a Jewish man. You don't have to commit the crime to be able to identify it and rebuke the criminal and try to stop the crime. Of course, that's just the silly argument. Not only is it silly, it's bigoted against men, right? It's anti-man. It's an anti-male argument. Our phone number is 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. And in a little bit, Daniel from Dayton, Tennessee. Hey, Dayton, Tennessee, that sounds familiar. That's where the Scopes trial was. Remember that? The evolution, the monkey trial. Daniel, if you could hold, it's going to be a while. If you can't hang on, that's okay. But we're going to go to the introduction to the debate that we did with Reginald Finley, InfidelGuy.com. We'll let you hear the beginning of the debate just to whet your appetite. And then on Monday and Tuesday, get ready to hear about an hour of that debate. So let's go to it. Today, we have a debate with Reginald Finley. It's an informal debate. There's no moderator. You might know him as the Infidel Guy. He is known around the country and even around the world as an atheist, and he's appeared on ABC's Wife Swap program, and they have repeatedly re-aired that. In fact, it's been very popular, where his family, he's the atheist, and they, I guess, switched wives with a Christian family. I didn't see those shows, but I've heard, in fact, just this morning, mentioned to a local black minister that I was having a debate, and he said, I know that guy, that Reggie guy. And so anyway, welcome, Reggie, to Bob and Yart Live.
Thank you for having me, Bob.
Reggie, why don't we start like this? If you could tell the audience about yourself, and then I have notes about maybe 4 or 5 minutes worth of an opening statement, but you could take time, let the audience know where you're coming from. I'll do my brief opening statement, and then we'll have a dialogue.
Okay, well, I guess that sounds fine with me. Well, yes, my name is Reginald Vaughn Finley, Sr. I reside in Atlanta, Georgia. Been there all my life. And I wasn't really raised religious. My parents allowed me to question anything and everything. If I had a question about religion, they simply said, look it up. And so I started very early learning how to look up things for myself instead of just accepting what people tell me. They were believers, but they just still believed in letting me find out things for myself. Anyway, I was pretty much raised with, I grew up in an environment, of course, full of believers because, well, 75% of the nation is a Christian. So I was invited to church by many of my friends, and I began participating in church. And later in life, I started singing with a gospel group. They were called Forte. They're now called 112. But they were, and that was how I felt like I could get close to God, by doing that. And anyway, long story short, in that process, I began to ask questions. I still believe, but I began asking questions. Things didn't really seem to be what people were claiming they were, what ministers were saying about the Bible or what they were saying about God. I just didn't see things as consistent as consistently as they did. I kept seeing contradiction. I kept seeing just problems and difficulties, but I still maintained my faith. I joined the military, and when I was on, and even then, I still believed, and I had some experiences there, which really started to shake my faith. But later, I came back to the States and went to school, and that's pretty much where it really began. I started taking courses in Old Testament wisdom, New Testament wisdom, philosophy, and that was when my whole world shattered. I realized that everything I thought I knew about Christianity was simply wrong. And you know, one of those of which all my life we pretty much think that, and this is, of course, my ignorance, and this doesn't argue for atheism, but it's just that I didn't know that the Bible was put together from various places and times, and that there are multiple authors involved and all these various things. And I grew up hearing people say that God inspired people. And then as I began doing my research, I started discovering places where people were just putting things in the Bible just to fit their own ideas about what they think about God. Just noticing that pattern really began to make me more and more skeptical that this is indeed the Word of God. It sounds like the Word of man, or shall I say, what men think about God is what they were writing. I started working for the federal prison system for a while. As you can tell, I got a lot of federal service here.
Yeah.
So I started working for the federal prison system, and I began noticing something very peculiar. I would look at the dockets as inmates would come in, and they were all Christian. Well, most of them were Christian. And I would wonder, how could they call themselves Christian, and yet they're predominantly in the prison system, and they're the ones who dominate the prison system. So I was thinking, that's quite strange. And you would think you would see a lot of atheists, I thought, if non-believers were the ones who do no good, as some say Psalms 14:1 says, and yet that's what I kept seeing. And so I started asking questions, even more questions, you know, talking to fellow officers and things of that nature. And eventually, I just decided to leave the faith altogether. I declared that I was an atheist, and I guess I've never looked back since, so to speak. I've been happier ever since. My thoughts are a little more clear, a little more lucid. I started this radio program actually as a way to just... It's kind of weird how it all started. I went to geocities.com and started a web page a long time ago. This was probably 9 years ago, just to pretty much show up my face to let people know that yes, I'm a non-believer. I am a young African American, and that's okay. And if you are a minority and you're doubting too, that's fine. Let's talk about it. And from there, it just spread to audio. My partner with the Atheist Network, Jake, taught me how to get started in the internet broadcasting, and the show just grew from there. And 8 years later, I'm earning a living through my radio broadcast. And that's pretty much where I am right now today.
All right. Well, thanks for telling us that, and that helps me, Reggie, better understand you, and I'm sure the audience. And so I would like to begin with an apology to you, Reginald Finley, on behalf of Christianity, which so frequently misrepresents God. Our theologians present a conception of God that is basically consistent with fate and fatalism. It comes from the pagan Greek idea of fate, that is an eternally settled future. As though that concept were biblical, but when you look in the Bible, you see that God is making decisions and actions in interacting with human beings and angels, where every decision and every action is changing the future, because the future is not settled. Now, most of the Greek and Latin terms, philosophical terms, like the omnis and the ems, like omniscience, omnipresence, impassibility, they don't even appear in the Bible, and yet theologians misrepresent these philosophical ideas as though the Bible taught the omnis and the ems as the eternal attributes of God, as though everything were predestined or everything was fatalistic. So I concur with what you said, that the majority of people entering prisons are Christian. In fact, I've had a six-month prison ministry ministering to guys in prison, and overwhelmingly, the guys who get the DUIs and they beat their wives and they're doing drugs and selling drugs, they're Christians, and over and over and over, they would say to me, why is God doing this to me? Why is this happening? I don't understand God's plan for my life. And they are being fed the same pagan Greek philosophy that everything happens for a reason, everything is part of a plan, and I assert that that is simply not biblical.
Hear, hear.
So I'm apologizing to you, Reggie, because as an atheist trying to disprove the Christian God, you have a moving target, because our side presents God in two very different ways. As the head of an unchangeable, eternal future that even he himself cannot change. That's absurd. That would be an impotent God who's stuck in fate, just like Zeus was. The other Christian description of God comes from what is called open theism, and presents God as free, and therefore the future is not exhaustively foreknown. It's not settled, because that concept is inherently irrational. And because God is free to make decisions as we are, each decision affecting what occurs in the future. So millions of Christians reject the same God that you hate, the God that would decree that a man kidnap and rape a child. We hate that God. And so the arguments you use against that God, and by the way, that kind of fatalism, its Christian incarnation is known as Calvinism.
That's right.
We reject that attempt to rob man and even God himself of free will. 1600 years ago, St. Augustine admitted in his book, Confessions of Augustine, he admitted his commitment to Greek philosophy. And more than anyone else, you could look this up in Encyclopedia Britannica, he is responsible for synthesizing Greek philosophy into Christianity. Before Augustine, all Christian theologians who addressed the topic affirmed free will in man and in God, that God is free, we were made in his likeness, his image, therefore we are free. That was for three centuries. Reggie, on your website, infidelguy.com, which I encourage our listeners to go to and look at your questions about God and your arguments against God, you put up a couple list of arguments against God. The second is pasted from one of your listeners, Ted Drange. And the first list are arguments that you have come up with or borrowed to make your own list, and it has 22 arguments against God. I've gone through those to analyze them, see where you're coming from. And I noticed that fully half of these, 11 arguments, deal with the loss of free will and the omnis and the ims, the omniscience and immutability and so on, and then the subsequent denial of free will. If God is omniscient and immutable and nothing could ever change the future, then free will is gone. So half of your arguments, 11, deal with that issue. So in our debate today, as we go through and you ask questions about God, I'm hoping that you and I could agree that, yes, the arguments for an eternally settled future in an immutable, unchangeable God are absurd and irrational. And I'm sorry that you've been set up by a lot of bad Christian teaching about this supposed eternally settled future. But unlike other religious leaders, Jesus Christ warned the world about his own followers. So you are not debating a Christian fatalist whose fatalism you could use against your opponent. You're not debating a Calvinist or anyone who believes in a settled future. Reggie, you're debating an open theist, and open theism presents God as free and able with every decision affecting what occurs in the future.
Very good.
So let's go for it.
Very good. You know, I'm very glad to hear that, Bob. I think this is going to be a very interesting discussion slash debate, because indeed you are correct. Most of these questions are geared toward what people continuously say rather than what one could argue is actually in the Bible.
Wow. That's the beginning, and it went on for 2 hours, and I have to say that it was an excellent debate. It went in that spirit for much of it, and so I hope you tune in. That was quite a long preview, but I hope it gets you excited to hear on Monday and Tuesday between those two programs, Lord willing. We will air about an hour worth of the debate. And then, like we do with many of our materials, people would be able to contact us and get the whole thing on a CD. Now what I want to do is go to the phones. Our number, 1-800-8-NYARDS, 1-800-836-9278. Oh, by the way, after the debate, Reggie called back and said that he has his show that he does once a week, Friday evenings, and he asked if I would be the guest on his show Friday night. So we do. We've said, of course, yes, that'd be great. And please, if you could, pray for Reggie and for me that the program goes well Friday night. It will be online at thedebatehour.com. thedebatehour.com, and you might want to tune into that. I think that'll be 6 p.m. Mountain Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. So that should be a lot of fun. Okay, now let's go. We're totally switching the topic to homosexuality. Last week we played some clips from the old TV show, the BEL Televised Classics, and boy, I've been hearing from people who have said that was so much fun, and what a commercial for the subscription we offer to the BEL Televised Classics, where you could get delivered to your home on DVD 4 episodes a month, 8 episodes, or 16 episodes a month, just by going online to our website, kgov.com, and subscribing, or by calling us at 1-800-8-NYART. But one of the topics that kept coming up on those excerpts was homosexuality. So now we have a call on that topic from Daniel in Dayton, Tennessee. Daniel, welcome to Bob and Yart Live.
Yeah, thank you. Well, it's less about homosexuality itself.
Right.
So keep in mind, I'm not for it either, but setting the morality of that aside,
right,
my problem is how the governments of the world tend to be handling it.
Okay.
Because just yesterday in Brazil, they put forth, and it passed the House, it hasn't passed the Senate in Brazil yet,
mm-hmm,
that it would be illegal to speak against homosexuality, even in a religious context.
It's devastating.
So if a priest were to say homosexuality is a sin, he can go to jail for 5 years. Literally, it's on the news. You can check it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not making any of this up. 5 years prison just for saying that.
Okay, now while we're talking, I don't know if I could do two things at once, but I'm going to try to find that myself online. So,
well, as soon as I get off from you, I could always email it to you.
Yeah, well, that's fine. And also, for the sake of the audience, Brazil, I went to news.google.com and I just typed in Brazil and homosexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And this comes from yesterday. Brazil's Senate is currently engaged in a debate over proposed legislation that would criminalize anything deemed a condemnation of homosexuality.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
And ministers, right, exactly. Ministers could face jail time for saying that homosexuality is a sin.
Yep, that's what I said, 5 years, according to what I've read in the paper.
Yeah, good for you, Daniel, for bringing that to my attention. In Canada, right next to us, our neighbor to the north, you could not broadcast on their radio or TV airwaves. You can't broadcast that homosexuality is a sin or it's destructive. And there is, for the beautiful people who believe in free speech, tolerance, and diversity,
mm-hmm,
wherever they have the ability, they try to criminalize even the statement that homosexuality is destructive or sinful.
Yeah, well, that's my point. Freedom of speech, freedom of association, these things are bandied about a lot, but then all of a sudden they use them as like bludgeons, mm-hmm. like in England, I said earlier.
Mm-hmm.
England is where I'm going this October, by the way. They've made it to where the Catholic Church is running adoption agencies must adopt two gay couples. Must.
That was in England. So say that again now.
It is compulsory that you cannot discriminate on sexual orientation. Therefore, Catholic adoption agencies will have to consider gay couples
right.
to adopt their children.
And that's happening here in this country with regulations. Well, like in Colorado, Governor Bill Ritter is forcing, let's say, Catholic hospitals that are against abortion mm-hmm. to
perform abortion.
To, well, for a woman who's been raped to tell her that she could get a morning after pill, a chemical abortifacient, Plan B, to destroy the child that very well may have been conceived in her womb.
Which is also not morally right.
Exactly. And they claim to be pro-choice, let the individual decide. The government has no place forcing others to make these life or death decisions. And they tend to be hypocrites on this because Planned Parenthood, they've donated millions of dollars to China's population control program, and China is forced abortion literally a million times over. China's not pro-choice. So Planned Parenthood, for the last 20 years, should have been screaming bloody murder against China for forcing women by the millions to have abortions because of their outlawing of brothers and sisters in China. It's against the law to have a brother or sister. You could only have one child per family. And for the most part, these supposed pro-choice advocates have supported, quietly supported, China's coerced abortion.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I'm talking to a friend of mine. I'm not that old myself. This girl I know in London said that they had a whole class dedicated to how homosexuality is inborn. Someone tries to bring up the fact he was expelled, bring up the fact that it was one-sided because according to the school's own mission statement, it said that it must present all points of view.
Right.
And they said that that point of view was not acceptable.
Exactly.
They expelled the man. I mean, boy, he's like 14, sorry.
Okay, yeah, right. And so they say, in fact, I've just recently had a debate where my opponent was saying that homosexuality is an acceptable lifestyle, and some of the evidence is that animals do it. Animals can be...
Well, animals can also have mental illness. That doesn't prove anything. I mean, I've seen suicidal dogs. That doesn't... I'm going into psychology for school, by the way.
Okay.
Just out of a side issue, animal psychology is interesting because animals suffer the same things humans do. I hate that argument because it assumes that, well, animals do it, therefore it must be natural. Well, if a dog starves himself to death, does that mean it's okay for me to?
Well, let's say this. Animals will sometimes eat their young. Animals will eat their young. They'll relieve themselves in front of others. They will reproduce sexual reproduction in front of a crowd.
Yeah.
And so if the argument is, look, homosexuals act like animals, then our response is, well, we should act like human beings and not like dogs,
well,
not like pigs.
Speaking of animals, animals were also in the news about, I think, 8 months ago. I can't remember. They proved that homosexuality was curable. But then they called the research unethical.
Yeah, right.
The reason it was unethical is because it's a threat to the gay community, and it was a gay sheep, believe it or not. Farmers in an agriculture, this was also in England, they had a problem because some of the rams were gay. The problem with that is, of course, if you want to have more sheep, you're going to have straight rams.
Right, right.
So what they were trying to do is figure out why they were, and they found a simple hormone treatment could, you know, fix them. It's a chemical imbalance.
Well, that's true. In homosexuals, they've had this problem because if they claim that you're born that way, it's genetic,
yeah.
That means they could be fixed. And that gives them a real big problem. So they've been saying the male homosexuals say that they're born that way. And that's because our culture is pretty much grossed out by the thought of two men, you know, smooching. That's pretty gross.
Yeah, well,
but lesbianism is different. Tragically, male pornography shows that it's a $1 billion industry of lesbianism. And so the lesbians nationally, their leaders, they don't say they're born that way. They call it a lifestyle choice, lifestyle preference. And that's only because of the acceptance in the culture generally. So the whole argument on both sides, it's just designed to trick people into being confused and then supporting something that destroys lives.
Yeah, well, that's my point. These same people say that we must support science no matter what the cost, even if it goes against these fundamentalist Christian blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
You've heard that before. Then all of a sudden it goes against what they teach. What do they do?
Right. And so animals are animals. They eat their young.
Well, not all of them. Sheep don't, which is what we're talking about.
Well, Daniel, I didn't say all animals eat their young, but animals are animals. They eat their young, some animals. They will gang rape a female of the species, some animals. They eat other animals while they're still alive. Animals are animals. So if the defense of homosexuality is, hey, we want the right to behave like animals, that's a really dangerous defense, because human beings have a spirit. We have a spiritual dimension, and we are responsible to God for ethical and moral actions.
My particular argument against that is, I want the right to steal plasma TVs.
Right.
Animals steal things.
Animals do steal things.
I want the right to throw like a cinder block through a store window and just make out with a plasma TV.
Right. Very good. So, Daniel, thank you for warning us about what's going on in England and Brazil.
And here.
We appreciate it very much. Thank you, Daniel.
Well, you're welcome.
May God bless you. I appreciate that call. And even here with adoption agencies, they're either regulated or pressured to let homosexuals adopt children. My first cousin is a homosexual in New Jersey, and he and his partner, they changed the law in New Jersey so that homosexuals could adopt children. So his name is Michael Galluccio, and they lobbied, they changed the law, and they adopted the first child legally in New Jersey as a homosexual pair, and they named him Adam, right? Poetic, biblical, reaffirming the biblical model, even in their rejection of the biblical model. But God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. But they're denying God while reinforcing the reality that the Bible reveals to us our actual history, that God made us. And yeah, if we want to say we're not made in the image of God, we're not made in his image or likeness, we have evolved from animals, and fish eat other fish. That's what fish do. They don't go to the grocery store and buy a meal. They eat other fish. And so some human beings may kill their neighbor because they don't feel like going to work, making money, and buying food. And so they'll be cannibals and just kill their neighbor. But that's wrong, because we are not animals. We are human beings made in God's image and likeness. Our website is kgov.com. And on Easter, our sunrise service at Denver Bible Church, that's going to be great. You could call us at 800-8-NER if you're in Colorado. Ask about the Easter sunrise service. And then also, April 12th, I'll be presenting Focus on the Strategy 2 in Colorado Springs. That'll be fun. And Maranatha Christian Center, what a great school, Maranatha.